Good morning. We just took a nice big family vacation, had a lot of time on the plane. While returning from that trip, I was able to think of a few things. And really what started was about thinking about the places I'd been in. Thinking about the ones that were good, the ones that were bad. We kind of listed a few of those. Or I did. The things that stick are being in Hawaii, which was our last trip. It was a lot of fun. The very first trip my wife and I took together alone was the Bahamas. Also great. That was followed by this one, which is in debt. That was not so much fun. We've been a lot of more places than that. I myself have been in many times in cahoots. That's a place where you have to visit with someone. I've been incognito. Didn't see anyone who knew me there. Someday I plan to actually be insane. But I hear that's where your kids drive you. So we're going to talk about being in today. So as we start, we're going to talk about beginning the Christian path. All right? The place I was in there was interested. The thing that got me here initially to this place was my wife. Would not have stepped foot in the door without her. Now that was from a seed planted by my mother, a seed that was planted and never left unwatered ever to be at church and to find someone that was related to Christ. The interest is piqued. Something brought you here initially. Something grabbed your attention that said, you know, I want to find out more about that. It made you inquire about God. You were then, at some point, invited to be here. Now, those of you children that are coming here with your parents, I'm going to give you an invitation now, even though you're going to get in the car and come. That's your choice. Here's your invitation. Please come to church with us, but now get in the car. Someone that cared about you invited you to be here. We want you here. All right, this isn't a place where we shoo you away. We actually want you to be here. You're invited. We're happy you're here. A true invitation is one that asks for no repayment. When you invite someone to your home, do you expect them to invite you back? You shouldn't. In Luke 14, 12 through 14, then also he said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask friends, brothers, relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you and pay you back. Instead, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, for they cannot repay you. For you shall be paid at the resurrection of the just. I don't think that means you have to go out and find someone off the street to invite into your home. If you choose to do so, we have a lot of references in that church where people have actually done that. See someone in need and just take them in and take care of them. And you're a special person if that's what you can do, because that's truly helping. That's a true invite. Being invited purely increases your desire to be here. And to learn more about the church and more about Christ. I always say the church because initially as you walk through those doors, you remember the people that speak to you more than maybe you remember your first service here. I would expect that if we have visitors today that are here for the first time, you'll remember more the people that came up to you and spoke to you before and during services and after to get to know you a little bit than you will this talk. And that's all right. That's the way it should be. Because I'll tell you that I remember those first few that I came to, and I couldn't tell you who spoke or anything else. It's important. That invite increases the need of wanting to be here. The love that's shown on the first visit is something that makes you want to be here more. Once you increase that desire, and you have the willingness to go out and learn a little bit, to grab and take with you the things that maybe you don't have in your life right now, or at the time that you initially walked through these doors. You are being in need. Okay, you've come because you have a need that needs to be served. You're looking for more than what the pure world can supply. And you know what? That's awesome, because that's the thing that's going to bring you back. Because this is a place where we give you more than the world can supply. We give you instruction first. Instruction is something everybody loves to receive. Instruction and criticism, two of the greatest things in the world. They must be, because everybody wants to give it. And if I'm wrong, please let me know after service. Not now. Job 36 and 10. He also opens their ear to instruction and commands them that they turn from iniquity. Once you're receiving instruction, things in your life start to change. You start to notice where you were and what you were doing. I hope. And if that things or those things were wrong, I hope that you see where instruction leads you. A lot of time, instruction given with love can still be hard to swallow. But it's still something given out of love for your betterment. Every time my mother said, "Are you going to church?" she cared. Every time my dad said, "Are you listening to your mom?" he cared. You need that instruction to get you there. Because what we're trying to do here is, once you begin as a baby. Maybe not in the age of the world, but a baby in your Christian life. Okay? You come in as an innocent, as a youth, as someone that needs upbringing and instruction to get you where you need to be. We're trying to grow you into Christian adulthood as you walk in. What we try to do is ensure your development with the church. Okay, you don't go from knowing nothing to knowing everything, or knowing something, in two trips. At some point you have to study. You have to learn. And what we try to do here is we try to ensure that. Now, we want to give you a little direction. We want to help you learn the things that you need to take with you. So maybe if your trip here is your first trip here, and you're separated by 6 months because you leave for somewhere else, you'll remember that trip here. We want to ensure that you're still going and that you're coming back. As you grow, a lot of times in your own personal growth and in your life, you don't always notice the changes. How many of you started a lot lighter than you are now? And how many of you can tell me the days that you grew to become lighter to heavier? If you say every day, you get a chance. If you say, "Well, it was really here to here, but I can't pinpoint it." Because if you could pinpoint simple things like that, you'd be able to say, "Well, oops, going the wrong direction, don't want to do that anymore." And you stop. Sometimes things just creep up on you. They're invisible to those things around you. We want your growth to not be invisible. Okay, we want you to be able to leave this church, go out in the world, come to this church, sit in the pews, not missing the things that we want you to take with you. Okay, we want you to feel them inside. We want you to grab a hold and see these changes as they happen. You begin to interpret the verses. All right, the first time you open the Bible in the old King James Version, it is difficult. You open it in the new King James Version, still a little difficult. Right? The these and thys don't always fit with the yous and yos. Right? So you have to pick up on these. So it takes a little bit of understanding, a little bit of studying. But you begin to interpret these verses. They start to make sense. When you say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," all of a sudden something clicks. I got it. That's a nice day. Okay, those days don't always happen. But every once in a while, if you continue to study, boom, your eyes are open. You know, if your dad takes you out driving or your mother takes you out driving for the very first time in snow and they want you to fishtail around a corner, I'd never teach my children to do that ever. They want you to fishtail around a corner so that you can be with them so they can tell you how to correct your steering. If you weren't too scared to do it, you fishtailed the corner. Chances are you ended up crooked, either facing the wrong direction or half in the ditch. Parents are there to correct that. That's what we're here to do it. We're here to help you interpret the next time that happens. We want you to be safe. So when you fishtail and you didn't plan to do it, you can correct it. Because there's going to be times in the world and in the earth that you're going to make a mistake. And you need to correct it. Correction isn't always easy. But it has to be more instinct than thought sometimes in order for you to do it right. The first place you look anytime, I hope, is inside you. Because inside growth and inward renewal is a place where you really have to start this whole process. Somebody just coming to me and saying, "Well, you need to change the way you're living," would have no effect. None. One is I don't always respect authority, and two, I'm a little controversial, and I'd stand in your face, and I'd probably argue with you anyway. Because that's me. I don't like to back away. I don't care. It's coming. Inward renewal. The hardest thing for me to accept sometimes is that I might have done it wrong. Hard to believe. It's probably only happened twice. But still, I did it wrong those times, and I had to accept it. 2 Corinthians 4:16. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." I was talking with somebody yesterday, and he's a friend I grew up with in high school. He's a couple years older than I am. We were talking about playing basketball. Kind of talking about the things maybe we'd go back and do if we thought we could get away with it one time. And that was in sports related, so there's no question about this. I told him that my thought first would be to go back and play one quarter of football. Because I think right now I could be a lot more aggressive in one quarter than I might have been playing. And I think it'd be a lot of fun to apply what I have now for knowledge and know what to look for, as opposed to what I used to just make up for in aggression or athleticism. Okay, well, athleticism's out the window, so the only thing I got left right now is intelligence. So we'll hope that if I actually went back to do it, I'd get at least three plays in before I had to be taken out. He's the same way. You know, your body kind of folds in around you as you get older. You'd like to think when you wake up in the morning and you're, I'm not there yet, 50, that perhaps you felt as good everywhere, not just your mind, as you did when you were 20 and you woke up. Right now I'm 42, and when I wake up, usually my shoulder hurts, sometimes my knee, my back. I really don't roll out of bed that great. I'm kind of cranky when I wake up. So, you know, it's not. But in my mind, I don't feel any different than I did when I was 20, other than I just don't have the urge to do as many stupid things. So what you're looking at there is I'm growing, okay? My inward man is renewing. And what we want in church is for you to become beyond reproach. Okay, so that there's no question. When you're out in the public, people say, "Well, you know, he goes to church, but you know, what is he different than me?" You know, they still do the same things he did before. You need to become beyond reproach, become incorruptible. Okay, to be able to stand before Christ at the end of your life on this earth and know that you're going to be accepted inside the gates of heaven. And for those of you that are counting, I'm using a lot of in references here, so I encourage you to go on, because I actually do have a number. I'm not going to give it to you, but I'd like to know if you're paying attention. In Romans 1:22-23, "Professing to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man." Okay, God is the same. God does not change. God, as we walked in this morning, is God as we leave today. The thing that we need to do when we become incorruptible is first, always be in the eyes of God. See through the eyes of God. It's a very difficult thing. In that, you need to become not easily insulted. To become strong in mind. I have an uncle that passed away. And when he was talking, when the gentleman was given the funeral, the eulogy, they had the children write down some of the things they remembered of Melvin's sayings. And one of the sayings that stuck with me is that an insult is only an insult if you care about the person that says it. So in other words, if you don't care about the opinion of someone giving you their opinion that's negative to you, then it's not really an insult. It's just someone speaking. And that's the way he was. He was a very forgiving guy. He was a very laid-back man. I can't name three times in my life I ever heard Melvin speak up, except when it was time to pray. And then he commanded the attention. It's an awesome thing. You can't be insulted. All right. If someone comes to you in that instructional period and tells you they think that you could do something a little bit better, no matter how it's delivered, tactfully, untactfully, it's still being able to give you instruction. Vern told me one time that he didn't like that I shifted back and forth on my feet when I talk. All right. It wasn't an insult. It was distracting to the man. So I try to make a conscious decision to stay in one place when I talk. You know, it was distracting. He wanted to hear what I had to say, but he couldn't because I was doing that all the time. Didn't know it. If you know it, you can fix it. I don't want to be a distraction. We want to give you something to take with you as you go. If you cannot receive instruction, you may become incorrigible, which means you are not able to accept anything. There is no help for you. You are beyond help. If the only opinion in your life that matters is yours, you're going down the wrong path. Okay, because you don't care if someone tells you something out of love, out of spite, or anything else. You are going down the wrong path. You've become incorrigible. You can't be fixed, folks. We want you to be fixed. All right? Nobody in the crowd here wishes anyone ill. Truly. I mean, I hope that when everybody walks in the door, they feel a sense of well-being. Because this is a very comfortable place to be, which makes it very easy for us, when we stand up here to talk, to look at you. Okay, because once in a while you get a grin. Once in a while you get somebody, you know, and forgive me, that doesn't do that, this one. Okay? And that happens. Right? Some mornings are tough. But we want you to be inspired. We want to take you to a different place. Okay, I want to give you that feeling in you when you leave the building today that you're going to be able to take out into the world where people don't always care for you, don't always love you, and certainly don't always look out for your well-being, and give you the armor that you can take with you to inspire them to come back here. A difficult thing. Ask somebody to come to church with you. All right? That is a hard thing. And to be able to do that and actually get someone to come with you means you have done a great thing, because you have inspired a little bit of trust from that person that they're willing to learn more about you and what you care about. And it's very important that people know you and what you care about is here. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. Not just one or two verses, not a certain section of the book. The whole book is given by inspiration. It's profitable for doctrine. going to tell you the next step from there. After you've received that instruction, you're coming in. We hope you get baptized. Okay, we hope that you want to become a part of Christ's body. Because being baptized means that you have just stepped into the right portion of the world. All right, you've been baptized, you've come forward, you said, Christ is in my life. You'd be buried with Him and you're raised from those waters. It's a great feeling. You receive the blessing that Christ starts to give you. One of the many that you receive along the way. Does that mean your life will be filled with no trouble? Not a chance. Not a chance. Things are still going to be difficult in your life. You're still going to have things to overcome. The difference is that, one, you've got forgiveness. Two, you've got the knowledge that Christ is on your side, so even if you're standing alone in some place, you've got somebody to talk to that's going to give you a little bit of encouragement and put you where you need to be. We need to come to Christ when we come with the innocence of an infant. All right? Purely. Coming as a child that just simply wants to know. All of us with children or been around children have heard that question. Why? Why is that? You know, aside from the normal answer of, because I said it is, sometimes they need an explanation. Why? You should always be asking why. You want to study, you want to grow. Why is the reason people go out to look for things and try to find answers? It's the why that drives you. We want you to come forward with that innocence, all right? The innocence of that child so that you can receive the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. Inheritance is something that's given by those that love you. Okay, it's not done any other way. You don't receive an inheritance because you deserve it. You receive an inheritance because someone wills it to you. Out of the love for you. An inheritance is a gift, a receivable gift. And that is a given inheritance. 1 Peter 1-4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heavens for you. We want you to be part of that, to hold that gift, that blessing. We want you to indulge yourself in God's gift to you. In the blessing of the Heavenly Father. While you are beginning to take in God's blessings and receive those things, know on the way that He expects you also to be there for Him. To grow in Him, to study, to worship Him and praise. Our God is a jealous God. And He expects that of you. Continue to incline your eyes and ears and mind to the Word of God. So that each day when you awake, you're able to see God through your eyes before you leave. As you look to heaven, as you look around, as you look in the bathroom mirror, we hope that you understand and you see God as you awake, as you arise, as you change. Joshua 24:23. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Incline your heart to the Lord of God of Israel. In the end, the place we desire for you to be is our family in Christ, worshiping our Heavenly Father, and in paradise. It begins in church to grow in faith, to grow in love, and to have hope, or to grow in hope. Not to labor in vain, but to stand up. Tell people of your life. Let them see it through you as you go out in the world and see them. Carry that love, the love of God that you are given from being in His family to the world just as you carry it to your family, knowing that whenever and wherever they go, they take your love and God's love with them. Now I'm going to give the gospel invitation. If you have things of need that the church can help you with, if you want to become part of us, I encourage you to come forward as we sing the last hymn.